of Devaki. Shayane on the bed. Nyasya placing. Vasudevaha. Vasudeva. Ata thus. Dadakam, the female child. Pratimucha, binding himself again. Padoloham, iron shackles on the two legs. Aste, remained. Purvavat, like before. Avritaha, bound. The translation, Vasudeva placed the female child on the bed of Devaki, bound his legs with the iron shackles, and thus remained there as before. So there's no purport to this text, so we're going to read the next text with its purport, which is the last text in the chapter. Text 53. Yashoda nanda patni cha jatam parama avyuta natalingam parishanta nidraya pagatasmatahi. Exhausted by the labor of childbirth, Yashoda was overwhelmed with sleep and unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her. So purport, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shilvabhad Shilvabhad Ki Jai. Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva were intimate friends, and so were their wives, Yashoda and Devaki. Although their names were different, they were practically non-different personalities. The only difference is that Devaki was able to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had been born to her and had now changed into Krishna, whereas Yashoda was not able to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Yashoda was such an advanced devotee that she never regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but simply loved him as her own child. Devaki, however, knew from the very beginning that although Krishna was her son, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, no one regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When something very wonderful happened because of Krishna's activities, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the coward men, the coward boys, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and the others were surprised, but they never considered their son Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes they suggested that some great demigod had appeared there as Krishna. In such an exalted status of devotional service, a devotee forgets the position of Krishna and intensely loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead without understanding his position. Now, this is called Kevala Bhakti, and it's distinct from the stages of Jnana and Jnana Mayi Bhakti. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 3rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. So Om Magana Timiranda Shya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Medikam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course...
Is your microphone on?
Yeah, it's on, but it's not that loud. But can everybody hear? Okay. So, Om Gana Timadanda Sha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, we can understand that all these actions that took place regarding Vasudev leaving the prison house and the guards falling asleep and the locks opening up and the river Yamuna giving way for Vasudev to cross over, and Yashoda Mai sleeping through the whole thing, and then Vasudeva able to come back through the river Yamuna in the middle of the rainfall, tremendous rainfall that Indra was sending, and then able to enter the prison house and then tie himself up again with the locks as if he had never left. This is all under the influence of Yogamaya. In other words, these things happen, which is like an amazing, miraculous occurrence, that the locks opened up, everyone fell asleep, and the Yamuna gave way to Vasudeva. Of course, there's also that story when Vasudeva was crossing the Yamuna, he actually dropped Krishna. And the reason he dropped, he didn't drop Krishna purposely, but it was such a, let's say, an experience with all the waves overcoming him. And he dropped Krishna, he was very worried. But actually, the Yamuna wanted to touch the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Yamuna is actually a great pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ultimately, she is one of the wives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Later on in Krishna's pastimes, when he went to Dwarka and Mathura, he ended up marrying Yamuna. And it's also described previously that Yamuna is actually the sister of Yamaraj. So when you go to Vrindavan, you'll hear this statement oftentimes, that if you worship the Yamuna, then Yamaraj will leave you alone. And so, anyway, this is one of the things you hear, especially when you go to Mathura to take bath in the Yamuna River. Of course, nowadays the Yamuna River has actually been stopped up through a dam, which they call Viraj in India, right before it hits Delhi. So basically there's no Yamuna water except during the rainy season that reaches Vrindavan. So that's a different story. So here we find, this last verse, that the difference being described between the residents of Vrindavan and the residents of the different abodes of the Lord outside of Vrindavan. Outside of Vrindavan, the Lord is worshipped in Aishwarya. So Aishwarya is an interesting word. Aishwarya means opulence, with understanding who he is. Whoops. Aishwarya means opulence. In other words, you understand that he is God, and there is some, I wouldn't say there is necessarily some fear, but there's healthy respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that interferes with the intimacy of the residents outside of the outside of Vrindavan. So, of course, there's other ways the Lord could be worshipped. As we know, Vrindavan is known as Madhurya Dham. Madhurya Dham means something that's extremely sweet because of the intimacy there. And Sridham Mayapur, Navadvip, Navadvip referring not to the city of Navadvip, but to the nine islands comprising Mayapur Dham. You know, sometimes Mayapur Dham means the whole of Navadvip, sometimes it just means the central portion of Navadvip. That's called Odarya Dham. Odarya means like very compassionate, very merciful Dham. So in this age of Kali, in order to understand the Madhurya aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's a necessity of approaching Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this Odarya Dham. Odarya Dham means merciful Dham. Because this age of Kali is extremely contaminated in many different ways. Of course, we hear from the Bhagavatam, Manda Sumanda Mantayo Manda Bhakti Vajrata Kalair Dausha Nade Rajan Ashtyeko Mahadvinat Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangapuram Vajet. I mean, there's so many different descriptions, and then you read later on in the Bhagavatam about the different symptoms of the age of Kali, in regard to governments, in regard to people's chastity, in regard to who is considered a exalted person. You know, if someone has wealth, they're considered high class, even if they are an ass. I mean, there's so many descriptions there in the Bhagavatam. So basically, everyone in Kali Yuga, almost everyone, is completely unqualified to worship the Lord, even in on reverence, which is to speak of intimacy, the most exalted position. However, because the Lord is so merciful in Kali Yuga, appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Krishna Prema Padayate, you know, we have this verse about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gora Tiseta Maha. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you consider the most munificent because you're giving us the highest nut, Vaikuntha, not Ayodhya, but you are giving us the highest Krishna Prema, which is being described here in regard to Yashoda Mai's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or with her son, sorry, shouldn't say Supreme Personality of Godhead, in relationship with Yashoda Mai. So you're giving this freely to everybody in Kali Yuga. And then it's all that's required in order to worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to follow a few simple procedures rather than this whole Vedic procedures. I mean, for example, I was just in, and I mentioned this yesterday, I was just in New Orleans, and they were doing all these Vedic procedures there. They were taking so long, and I very rarely got to chanting the Lord's holy names. And finally, I ended up chastising them. I said, you know, the real important point is to chant the Lord's holy names and to worship the Vaishnavas. You know, if you're going to do a fire sacrifice, the most important mantras are the Hare Krishna mantra, of course, and what's called the Mangalacharna mantras. Now, the Mangalacharna mantras are very interesting because they are comprised of glorification of Krishna in Vrindavan, and before that, preliminarily, they are comprised of glorifying and worshipping the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course. And so this is the very essence of Krishna consciousness. You read these Mangalacharna mantras, and that's why Prabhupada really stressed the chanting of these Mangalacharna mantras, especially during fire sacrifice, especially during the Pushpanjali, or many different other ceremonies that we had in the Krishna consciousness movement. So, to achieve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, this is the methodology to worship the devotees, Vaishnava Seva, and to chant the Lord's holy names, of course, avoiding offenses, those are the negative injunctions. And then one can understand these intimate exchanges of Krishna in Vrindavan. Golokera Premadana, Udi Nama Sankirtana. And of course, that was one of Prabhupada's favorite quotes, that this chanting of Hare Krishna is coming directly from Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka era Premadana Hare Nama Sankirtana. So, by this chanting, we can come to this very exalted platform. But in the meantime, before we're actually on the platform, completely pure, without any material inebrities, without even the possibility of the anarthas coming back, as we were discussing yesterday, about Krishna Prema, or on the platform of Krishna Prema, one is absolutely free from anarthas, not just completely free, but absolutely free from anarthas. So once one is on that platform, yes, then you can forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But right now, for all of us, at least myself, it's essential to remember and worship Krishna in the mood of awe and reverence. And Prabhupada was very specific about this in regard to worshiping the deities of Radha and Krishna. He actually said that when you're worshiping Radha and Krishna, you're worshiping in the mood of Lakshmi Narayana. In other words, don't forget. And that's Prabhupada actually said this when he was installing the deities in Los Angeles. He said, don't forget, and he was crying at this particular juncture. He said, don't forget, you're directly dealing with the Supreme, I'm paraphrasing, these not exact words, But you're directly dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're directly dealing with God there. And that, just like talking about dealing with a spiritual master. So one should be very, very cautious when doing, and not only cautious, but this cognizant of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and cognizant of the different tattvas. We were talking about this yesterday. Tattva means the different, essential energies of the Lord, including the jiva soul, the marginal potency of the Lord, and cognizant of the Lord. The Lord is also a tattva. And of course, even when dealing with the Lord, there's actually sub-tattvas, because you have panchatattva. Panchatattva means there's actually two other sub-tattvas in regard to Ishwara-tattva. Ishwara-tattva is one tattva, and then you have Lord Nityananda, who's the first expansion, and then you have a Dvaitacharya, who is sometimes described as Sadashiva and the Mahavishnu. And then, of course, you have Srivas Thakur, who is Jiva Tattva, and Shakti Tattva, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So one has to be very cognizant of the tattvas so as not to mix things. Like when a devotee or an aspiring devotee identifies themselves with the body or identifies themselves with the material emotions, sometimes people spiritualize. I'm not talking about really spiritualizing, but in their mind, they're actually spiritualizing their emotions, thinking their emotions are spiritual, whereas in fact, they may be completely mundane. So that means they're not cognizant of the tattvas. They're not actually careful in regard to Krishna's material energy, dealing with Krishna's material energy, and dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when one's doing deity service, one has to be extremely cautious and careful. And of course, when one's an absolutely pure devotee, you don't have to be cautious or careful. Just like Sanatana Goswami, when dealing with Madan Mohan, he could tell Madan Mohan that you're asking for salt, I don't have time, you'll have to get it yourself. He could deal with him in that intimate way. And of course, Madan Mohan got his salt. Or Raghunanda, son of Mukunda, one of Lord Chaitanya's associates. Raghunandana was serving the deities by basically crying and almost threatening the deities to eat. There's that story that Mukunda, when he was a physician, when he went on some service, some duty, carrying out his business of being a medical man, then he left his son Raghunandan in charge of the deities, and Raghunandan, in order to get the deities to eat, was simply crying before the deities. And some of the stories go that he threatened the deities, eat, eat, eat. And the deity actually ate. So that's an intimate relationship that one has with the deities, or one has with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to be careful not until we come to that platform. And even if we are on that platform, we have to act as if we're a neophyte. Why is that? Yadyadacharati shrestas tatat evetaro jaha. To set an example for others. So that others, even if we are able to talk to Krishna and have Krishna talk back to us, and we are able to chastise Krishna and tell Krishna to make his own garlands or something like that, still, we should not display that. Because others will take things cheaply. Sahaja will take things cheaply. So for ourselves, we always approach Krishna, the deity, Krishna, the holy name, Krishna, the Bhagavatam. We're so fortunate, actually. We have Krishna manifest before us in many different ways. Krishna, the Gita. Krishna's manifest as the temple. temple, this temple, for example, or all the temples, bona fide temples of Krishna, are considered expansions of Balaram, or manifestations of Balaram. That's why we find in the Guru Vashika a description of the spiritual master, Mandira Marjanado, and even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was with his own cloth cleansing the Gundicha temple, the Gundicha Marjana story, and getting down on his hands and knees to do such a thing, and cleaning dirt. Now, generally, I mean, who would, at least in India, if someone is a sweeper, if someone is a cleaner, it's considered a very low class, isn't it? Like you see the, they're called bungees. You know, they're out in the street, cleaning the ditches in the street, of course they stool in the ditches in the street in India. It's considered very low class. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed us the proper mood to have in regard to the Lord's temple. We're just talking about the temple right now. Because the temple is a manifestation of Krishna. So it is a great advantage. One has been given a blessing to be able to clean the temple or clean anything that belongs to the deities or clean the deity's place. Actually, you can see a devotee's devotion or the temple's devotion by how clean the plates are. Like you see the not just the deities' plates, but of course the arti plates and all this. You can actually look and see if they shine. That means the devotees have devotion. I mean, Prabhupada was so focused on that that even if the pots had some black mark on the bottom. And, you know, pots definitely get some black mark on the bottom because obviously the flame is touching the pots on the bottom. But even if the black was there on the pots, Prabhupada would consider that unclean. And Prabhupada in India had the devotees cleaning with sand. You know, it's not that they have like nowadays these, what do they call them, Brillo pads or stainless steel pads. They actually had to, when the devotees were serving Srila Prabhupada, they actually just had to take sand and scrub the bottom of the pots, and water too. And so these things are all non-different. The point I'm making is these things are all different. And we oftentimes take these things for granted. I mean, even the musical instruments, the cartels, these are all part of Krishna's paraphernalia. You know, sometimes like Sri Murdanga, like here, see we put the Murdangas on cushions here. And Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, as soon as the Murdanga came, Prabhupada actually took off his own upper garment, this, not the shirt or anything like that, but this cape that sannyasis wear. And he wrapped the Murdanga with his cape, the part of his clothes. Because he understood the Murdanga is something spiritual. Because being used in Krishna's service, the spiritual instrument. So the point I'm making is that this mood of awe and reverence and, you know, considering how fortunate we are has to be constantly, let's say, brought into our consciousness. We have to remind ourselves constantly that we are being given the great fortune and then just do it with attention, whatever we do, even if it's cleaning the toilets in Krishna's temple. Just do it with attention because it's all part of Krishna's paraphernalia. And that's why the mood, and Prabhupada was like that too. He was attentive. He was on the topmost platform, obviously the Vrindavan platform, but showing us the attentiveness that one has to have in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, in Vrindavan they're attentive simply because they love Krishna. But for us, or for me, you know, just I don't want to point out anyone else, but for us, me, whatever, We do this because we respect Krishna. And, you know, there's a little, maybe a little healthy fear. Not so much fear that we're worried about the Yamadutas. I think that's a little too much fear. Because if you're chanting the holy names, you don't have to worry about the Yamadutas. But, you know, we just worry. We want Krishna to be pleased. He's God. Keep in your mind, he's God. We're jiva souls. This is the material world. The three modes of nature are there. We're influenced by the three modes. Lord Kapila Dev describes how devotees can be influenced by the three modes. There's devotional service in three modes of nature. So be attentive and remember the philosophy. That's what we have to read every day. Prabhupada said, someone who doesn't read his books regularly, or hear a philosophy regularly, will go away. Because they'll just take things for granted. And they're not on the platform of completely loving Krishna because he's Krishna. Like Prabhupada said one time, he said, whether or not Krishna is God, we love him. But that statement is a statement made by an absolutely pure, nityasiddha, liberated, Mahabhagavat soul. Whereas ourselves, he's God. These are interesting points. So any questions or comments about any of the points I made? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues? Let's see if anyone online. No one here has questions. See online if there's anybody. Nope, nobody has questions online. Everybody's just submissive. So, if no one has questions, yes.
No. Well, said about being cleanliness is so...
Next to godliness. Prabhupada actually said next to godliness. Yeah.
So pure. Because I found out yesterday that out in California, the homeless are so many homeless people there that the city is paying people a lot of money just to go clean up and ground with all the trash. And then they hire someone else just to pick up the heroin. Needles off the ground.
They're
paying a lot of money just to clean up the whole city.
Yeah.
And there's so many homeless people there.
And
there's no more jobs.
That's good to give them some jobs. Yeah, and actually in Vrindavan, unfortunately, there's so much trash there in the streets. I mean, in many places in India. Vrindavan and Govardhan, people throw so much trash. Why is that? I mean, I'm not going to criticize the residents of Vrindavan, but anyone who throws trash in Krishna's abode, there's not proper understanding that this abode is non-different than Krishna. You throw trash on the ground in Govardhan, it's holy land. I mean, even if you go to Saudi Arabia, you know, and you go... to the Kaaba, you know, that's what they circumambulate counterclockwise. They don't throw trash on the ground there. They're very careful about that because they have this mood of awe and reverence. But there's a problem with presenting too much intimacy is that people don't properly respect. And that's proven by how much trash is on the ground in Govardhan and Vrindavan. Because it's just like very loose. Not everybody, not criticizing everybody. Actually, we have a program to clean up. Actually, it's Mayapur and Champaka. They have this program to clean up all the trash in Vrindavan. And every day there's mountains of trash to clean up. And even if there's a trash can, that's a garbage can for those who don't know what it is, people don't put it in there. So that indicates, I'm sorry to say, disrespect for Krishna. That's right. It's disrespect for Krishna. If you throw trash, or Prabhupada would get upset if there was either trash or things weren't properly cleaned in the temple. I mean, one of my godbrothers, one time, he would greet Prabhupada when Prabhupada left the Vrindavan temple to go on his walk. Prabhupada, he would just go, "Oh, Jai Prabhupada," you know, in so many words, glorify Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked around and he saw that there was either garbage on the ground or wasn't properly clean. And Prabhupada said, "Do something practical. Clean up." That's interesting. So if you see, Prabhupada also said, if you see something ignorant and you don't respond, you're responsible. If something ignorant, let's say there's trash lying on the ground, and you just think, well, it's just Krishna's place or whatever. So that's the result of not understanding the philosophy and thinking oneself so exalted that one will throw trash in the holy ground. It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So, and you see this, of course, happens in the temples. But so I'm just contrasting that with the Muslims who go to Mecca, and they don't do that because they're imbued with a healthy sense of fear towards God. And that's why they're so strict in offering their, you know, namaz, you know, five times a day, a certain time of the day, because they have some healthy fear, isn't it? And, you know, practically every religion. But we often don't have this healthy fear because we're being given the highest, that's true. But at the same time, we're not completely ready for 100% being absorbed in the highest. We're ready to hear the highest because Prabhupada has given it to us. But he's also given us the rest of the Bhagavad Gita, the rest of the Srimad Bhagavatam, not just the 10th canto. So you have to, like Prabhupada said, you approach the Lord from the lotus feet, and then gradually work your way up to the head, not that you just go to the head immediately. So, that, you know, there's many statements that Prabhupada made in that regard. So it is important to cultivate knowledge. The Dashamula, you know, 10 most important points in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Cultivate knowledge of the modes of nature. Don't think yourself more exalted. You know, have some pipe dream. Pipe dream is reference to someone who smokes opium, but, you know, obviously it can also indicate someone who doesn't smoke opium, who thinks himself or herself more exalted than they actually are in devotional service. Yeah, we're never too exalted that we were above cleaning Krishna's temple, for example, or cleaning Krishna's abode. It's a very exalted service. Okay, on that happy note, I think it's time to greet the deities. All glories to His Divine Grace. What was the pastime where Lord Krishna married Yamuna Devi? The pastime, that was the question. The pastime where Krishna married Yamuna Devi is Arjuna was walking along the banks of the Yamuna, and Yamuna Devi came to him, and he said, "Who are you, young girl?" And she said, "I want to marry Krishna. Introduce me to Krishna." That's there in the Krishna book. You understand? And so, therefore, Yamuna was able to marry Krishna because of Arjuna's mercy. That's their intent. Later on. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, Jai.